From studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, hello there to you folks all over America and all over the world, for that matter, listening to the Jim Brown Show. Common sense here on the weekend. I say all over the world. You know that 15% of our listeners come from outside the United States? I'm just amazed at the listeners we have in India, in China, in Romania, large listenership in Romania. And, look, I don't want to give myself all the credit. A lot of those folks, I'm sure, listen because they're practicing their English, and I'm glad they are, and I hope they learn a little bit about America, the controversies that take place. We've had so many, the confrontations, and yet out of it all, we seem to find a middle ground, and that's what we look for on this show, finding common sense in a very troubled country today and a very troubled world. We're broadcasting this week from our flagship station, WJBO in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, my hometown, but we often broadcast throughout the country. Next week, we'll be up in North Carolina, broadcasting from several stations up there. Mockville, North Carolina, large listenership with a large station up in Mockville. It's 1520 AM, WDSL, and also WSIC, 1400 AM in Statesville, North Carolina. That's central North Carolina, maybe an hour north of Charlotte, kind of in the center of the state. And we'll be up there. I'm going to get up in the mountains a little bit, too, and kind of enjoy that cool weather. So we'll be looking forward to listening to talking to some of you listeners up in the North Carolina area. We've got a full show today to talk about with several guests. But I wanted to touch one more facet of what happened in the Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin trial. This has been an issue that has been beaten to death all over the country. It'll still be talked about a lot more for many years to come as we try to find some figment of balance in the judicial system. One thing that concerns me, though, not about the trial itself, but about the aftermath. We learned within hours of the verdict being rendered that the Justice Department now says they will begin an investigation into the shooting to consider possible separate hate crime charges against Zimmerman. Hate crime. What he was thinking at the time. So, and you may ask, what's a hate crime? That's a legitimate question. If someone is premeditatedly shot and killed, that's generally murder, right? When you're dead, you're dead. And there's supposed to be a strong penalty for that. Generally life or the death penalty. But hate crime supporters, in my opinion, want more than justice. They want vengeance. They want vengeance. And under federal law, one can be charged with a hate crime if the crime was motivated by hatred involving race, religion, national origin, color, or sexual preference. And penalties for crimes against these groups already exist, but under the law, these crimes are enhanced by what's in the perpetrator's mind, you see, if what your motivation is. So a Florida jury found Zimmerman not guilty, but now federal prosecutors are considering bringing more charges for the exact same offense, in effect taking a second bite at the apple. I'm not getting into the facts of the case. That's not my point here this morning. What I'm saying is that in cases like this, if you can't get the perpetrator or the person charged for his conduct, then you can go again and go after him for what his thoughts were, what he's thinking, you see. I'm a little older than a lot of my listeners, but remember the Four Lads, a great group back in the 60s? They had a song called Standing on the Corner, Watching All the Girls Go By. Remember that song? Wonderful song. There's a lyric there, brother, you can't go to jail for what you're thinking. Well, in the case of hate laws, apparently you can. And so we're talking now about the thought police, if you will. And this has been troubling me for some time. I mean, troubling, concerning over the thought police is nothing new. George Orwell, and I like Orwell as a writer, and we've talked about his philosophy. In his novel 1984, he talks about the thought police, and he paints a disturbingly and chilling scenario where one can be accused of a crime, arrested and prosecuted merely for the thoughts in your mind. Here's what Orwell says, quote, "The thought police would get him just the same. He had committed the essential crime that contained all others in itself. Thought crime, they called it. Sooner or later, they were bound to get you. What's going on in your head? Should we charge you separately and enhance the crime for what you're thinking? Have you ever gotten so pent up and mad that you went into a rage and said things you really didn't mean? That sorry, no count, blank, 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 I'll get even with him. Have you ever used a racial slur? Oh, no, no, you say. But then, upon reflection, maybe you did. And maybe you did so if you were African American, you were Hispanic, you said it against the Irish, there are slang for Irish, Italians, certainly all the slang about Italians. Does that make you a racist? If there's supposed to be equal justice under the law, this is me talking here right now, shouldn't the punishment be based on the crime and not on who the victim is? Let me give an example. Let's say a deranged killer goes into the shopping mall, which we've seen happen in this country, and open fire with an automatic weapon. Does he commit less of a crime than, say, a maniac who does the same thing, but the club that he walks into is filled with either African Americans or gays or some other ethnic group? Should you get more punishment? And here's where I'm coming from. When a life is taken, aren't we making a determination that the lives of one particular group have greater value than the lives of another group? Isn't it a fundamental principle of democracy that the punishment fits the crime, not the victim? You see what I'm saying? And so I'm saying that freedom in America means the freedom to have bad thoughts. I may not like what you're thinking, but ideas alone should not be a crime. A criminal should be punished for bad acts, not bad thoughts. James Madison, one of our founding fathers, said it well. We have extinguished forever the ambitious hope of making the laws for the human mind. So the point I'm making is that when it comes to freedoms, then there should be one protected class. When it comes to crime, there should be a protected class that gets full protection from the criminal justice system. That protection class should be all Americans. We all ought to be treated equal. And that's my problem with this whole hate crime approach that the Justice Department is undertaking. I know that people are profiled. Oh, you can't use that word profile. Of course we profile. You and I profile every single day. I'll never stop profiling. That's how you protect yourself. That's how you make value judgments, by profiling who walks in the door, how someone is dressed. You look at all kinds of factors in profiling someone. Are they nicely dressed? It makes you more attractive to where you might want to talk to them all the more. Are they dangerously dressed in a way that concerns you, to kind of back you up for your safety? So, of course, we profile. Under federal law, we're profiling. We're saying that if you commit a crime involving certain groups, that they become more important than crimes against other groups. Well, you know, if you're dead, you're dead. If you shot, you shot. And I think that looking at hate crime, the whole hate crime idea deeply concerns me, because where it goes, where do you get the thought police? What's in your head? What do you think of? Should that be a crime? I don't think so. I wrote about it this week on my website, by the way. You can take a look at my column. My website's www.jimbrownusa.com. Take a look at my column. You can sign up for the regular columns. It will come to you automatically each week. Again, that website is www.jimbrownusa.com. Lots more to talk about. Full agenda on the Common Sense Show. Let's take a little pause right now. Let me freshen up my coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Are you a homeowner? Is your basement or crawl space damp and musty? Is your indoor air stagnant and stale? Listen up. This is Neil Cajun Contractor Michael King. I've been telling you for a while now, I got the solution. That's right, Easy Breeze Ventilation. Easy Breeze dramatically improves your indoor air by replacing contaminated air with fresh air. Easy Breeze also removes damaging moisture from your home, basement, or crawl space, reducing the chance for toxic mold to grow. Easy Breeze is the affordable way to protect your home and your health. You see, the best part, it only costs us pennies a day to operate. Unlike a costly dehumidifier, maintenance-free, and a 10-year warranty. This is a no-brainer. Start protecting your home and your health right now. Call the professionals at Easy Breathe, easybreathe.com, 1-866-822-7328. That's 866-822-7328. Easybreathe.com. Let Easy Breathe exhale so you can inhale.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it. Because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
A little follow-up to this Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case, and I'm not rehashing what happened in the past. Looking towards the future, Richard Cohen is a writer for the Washington Post. Writes good columns. It's syndicated. I read it in my local papers. It's read in papers all over the country. He is getting roasted, just criticized highly, because he raises questions about the whole idea of the hoodie. And he writes, let me read you a little something what he writes here. He says, I don't like what Zimmerman did. I hate that Martin is dead. I also can understand why Zimmerman was suspicious and why he thought Martin was wearing a uniform we all recognize. I don't know whether Zimmerman is a racist, but I'm tired of politicians and others who have donned hoodies in solidarity with Martin and who essentially suggest that for recognizing the reality of urban crime in the United States, that we're all racist. The hoodie blinds them as much as it did Zimmerman. And he's getting criticized saying, why would you point out the hoodie? That's just so unfair. And I got to tell you, I share some of Richard Conan's concerns, and I'll tell you why. First of all, like I say, we all profile. We look at someone in facing or in determining how safe we are in terms of relationships. We profile every day. If I get up, when my daughters were growing up, some 14-year-old kid came by with tattoos all over him and a mohawk haircut and an earring or the nose ring in his nose. You think I'm letting my daughter go out with that kid? Of course I'm not going to do that. I profile that kid. We profile every single day. It's just a fact of life. Something you ought to do, quite frankly. Here is a letter to the editor. I think yesterday's New York Times. And here's what this mother says about her experience. She says, discussions resulting from the Trayvon Martin case took me back to my son's middle school growth spurt 15 years ago. Suddenly my son is customarily leaping over our back fence, followed by dash across a private park, ringed by neighbors' homes to get to his friends' houses. And he looked less like Tom Sawyer and more like a fleeing criminal. She says, this is her son. She happens to be white. She says, the gigantic sneakers, sagging pants, and hoodie, which were favored by that age group at the time and which are still going strong, did nothing to allay this image. And the outfit looked a lot worse when it started to get dark. The worst element was the hoodie, owing to its usefulness in hiding identity. And I told my son that I was going to have to insist that he start walking the long way around to his friends' houses, and that I was concerned I was instituting a hoodie ban for reasons expressed in some of the discussions. He says, let me reiterate, that was 15 years ago. We're white homeowners in a low-crime neighborhood. But Virginia, where we live, is big on guns. So I did believe that my son was vulnerable to being shot by a panicking neighbor and that trouble could be avoided by taking measures like this, by using some common sense. Let me tell you about my own experience. I'll tell you about my own personal experience involving hoodies. I've got a hoodie. Wear it. I work out a lot outside and when it's raining. But let me give you one big example that hit home to me. I'm down at a family birthday party down in the center of New Orleans, the Roosevelt Hotel. A lot of you might have know the Roosevelt Hotel. For years, they used to broadcast on Saturday night, dancing and the music from the Roosevelt Hotel. Anyway, it's a grand old hotel in New Orleans. And I went to a birthday party. It was about 10 o'clock at night when I left. I was by myself heading back home about an hour drive. I went over to the parking garage that was across from the hotel. It was fairly deserted. There was a teller there, but you went upstairs and got your car yourself. You got into an elevator, went up wherever you parked your car, whatever floor you did, and you drove it down. Then you paid as you came down to go out the gate. Typical parking lot situation with one attendant behind the glass. I go get on the elevator, and when I get to the elevator, I see a young man that is holding the door for me. Well, he happens to be African-American. He was alone in the elevator. He was wearing jeans, tennis shoes, and a hoodie pulled up over his head. Now, the temperature outside was in the 60s, and it wasn't raining. I hesitated. What do you do? There was no one else around. Do I get in the elevator with him? Was I in any danger? They say we should not profile. Hogwash. Of course I profiled. I weighed the odds and felt getting on that elevator was just not the safe thing for me to do. I would have felt the same thing if he was Hispanic, if he was white, black, green, blue. I didn't care. He had a hoodie. He was scuffed clothes, scuffed tennis shoes. I'm by myself, alone in the elevator. So I told him, just go ahead, I'm waiting for someone. The elevator closed, and he looked me square in the eye. Nothing negative, just looked me right in the eye. Would I have had the same reaction again if this young man had been white or Hispanic? Yes, most definitely. My main concern, it was the hoodie. I just didn't have a safe feeling. You know, I'm a big basketball fan. A lot of you know that I was Dean Smith's first recruit he ever brought to the University of North Carolina many, many years ago. Didn't end up playing that well, but that's my claim to fame. But I follow basketball very closely. I'm a huge fan of the Miami Heat. LeBron James is the best basketball player today, could be the best ever. It's a tie between him and Michael Jordan. I saw him recently pictured with sunglasses and hoodie up over his head. If I saw LeBron James, who I greatly admire, I couldn't tell it was LeBron James. I see this tall figure walking down a dark street and not recognizing who he was, my antenna would go up. I'd profile and be cautious, maybe even retreat. An overreaction? Well, probably. But what's that saying, better safe than sorry? Look, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg wears a hoodie. He's a white guy, a little guy. But if the hoodie were pulled up around his head, I'd probably keep my, I would definitely keep my guard up. People make assumptions. I was down in New Orleans. You know, I used to do a daily radio show on WRNO down in New Orleans, the voice of New Orleans, 8 to 11. Great show, 5 days a week, and I'd often spend the night in New Orleans. One night I'm down in an area called the Marigny. It's a wonderful little area just the other side of the French Quarter, very much like being in Havana, Cuba. Lots of pine, rather, lots of palm trees and nice little neighborhood. They've got some fine restaurants down there, but it's not lit real well. So I was coming out of a little restaurant called Feelings down in the Marigny one evening, and came out the door, and I saw coming toward me two tall figures. I couldn't tell what their race was. They both had on hoodies. I turned around and walked back in the restaurant. Let them pass me by. As they came by, I took a good look, and I'd have felt safe. But I didn't know. I was trying to use some common sense. You got to profile. You've got to use some common sense. That's what I do. I think that's what most Americans do. My website, where I talk about these issues today, www.jimbrownusa.com. I'm going to come back and talk a very controversial subject about the Civil War. I got a guy on who says we should change the names of all forts named after Civil War generals. Right back on the Jim Brown Show.
Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Stop wasting countless hours scouring the web for survival gear when you can visit GearUpCenter.com. We specialize in the latest, most innovative products you can't find anywhere else. Products like the Crovo Multi-Tool, aquaponics systems, and our fully loaded bug-out survival trailer.
Tim Rawson here. I created GearUpCenter to bring you the latest quality-tested survival gear at the best price. Be sure to catch me again next season on National Geographic's Doomsday Prepper, where I'll be demonstrating my new Excalibur shotgun adapter system.
Get the gear your life can depend on at GearUpCenter.com.
And remember, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about the Civil War, the 150th anniversary. We've hit on certain battles, Gettysburg, Vicksburg. I'm just amazed at the interest all over America and all over the world in the Civil War, and so much has come back to the front burner because of these special anniversaries. One of the most interesting books I've read, a number of books about the Civil War, but there's a new book out called And the War Came. It talks about the 6 months preceding the Civil War. It's by an author who has written extensively. He has written for magazines all over the country. I'd give you a whole list of them. Written a number of books. Jamie Malinowski is his name, and he's joining us here right now to talk about the Civil War a little bit. Jamie, good to talk to you today. Welcome to the Common Sense Show.
Thanks so much, Jim. Nice to be here.
Let me jump right off and put you in the middle of the spitfire. You know, I live down in Confederate country, deep down, and there's been some interesting articles down this part of the country after the Voting Rights Act decision and several recent decisions from the Supreme Court that raised the head of Reconstruction happening all over again. And you wrote an article following up your book in the New York Times here a few weeks ago. And you raised the question as to whether certain forts and military posts should be named after Civil War generals. Now, Jamie, I got to tell you, that's fighting words down where I come from. The memory of Robert E. Lee and a number of generals, you know, General Beauregard was part of firing the first shot on Fort Sumter. And there's a great love affair with an awful lot of these folks. But let's talk about that. Let me put you on the spot on this. We had reunification. There was a whole litany of things that caused this war, and I want to talk about it. But why would you want to change the name and degrade the South by pushing off these famous generals and not letting these posts be named for them?
Well, thanks so much for giving me the chance to talk about this. I do think maybe I'm trying to make a subtle, a kind of a fine point. I don't really particularly want to degrade these generals. I think many of them were brave men. They fought for what they believed in. They were sincere about what they believed. But I don't think this is the appropriate way to kind of pay any kind of recognition to them. We're talking about 10 forts. Three are in Virginia, Fort Bragg in North Carolina, two in Georgia, two in Louisiana, and Fort Hood in Texas. Most of the forts were named after men who were in the United States Army and who made a choice. They resigned from the Army, and then when called upon to pursue the things they believed in, they made war against the United States Army. You may argue that they were justified in doing so. Others may take the opposite point of view. But my point is really simple. If you fight the United States Army, if you lead troops against the United States Army, if you make war against the United States Army, you shouldn't have United States Army bases named after you.
All right, well, you take some of these, many of these soldiers, though, fought very bravely for the United States in the Mexican-American War, the French and Indian Wars, had served their country in a number of ways before. Does that have any bearing in your mind on it or not?
Well, I don't really think so. I think, their true distinction in any kind of military way was status that they reached in the Confederate Army. You know, if you talk about guys who distinguished themselves fighting in the Mexican War, that's a whole lot of people. You know, so I don't really think that is a sufficient characteristic. And I think there's also better choices. You know, that in the 150 years since we fought the Civil War, the wars of the 20th century against fascism and communism have produced soldiers of distinction that are less controversial and that I think we can kind of get behind. In every one of the states that we talked about, there are, you know, a half a dozen to a dozen U.S. Army soldiers who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. I think any of them would be more appropriate choices for this honor at this point than these Confederate generals.
Then let me ask you this now. I'm trying to stay consistent because you talked about not honoring in any way those who made war on the United States. Well, now, you know, if you look over the list of military installations, you've got Cheyenne Air Base, a large air base out in Colorado named after the Cheyenne Indian tribe. The Army Airborne Helicopter Forces, all of their helicopter divisions are named after Indian tribes. You've got, you know, Black Hawk Down, we know so much about. We've talked about the Iroquois. Look, in the Civil War, you might have shot someone that could have been your neighbor, unfortunately. But with the Indians, I mean, they scalped you after they killed you. And yet we've named any number of military installations after Indians. So do you feel the same way about the Indians as compared to the Confederates?
That's a sort of a tough question. I guess I do. I mean, if we were going to explore this, I think everything is open for debate and discussion. And if that is something that rubs a nerve with people, then by all means, let's put it on the table and talk about it. I mean, one of the things that's been interesting in this discussion is that people do a lot of argument by trying to get me to say things. Say, well, what you said is like something else, and the like something else is kind of ridiculous. But very few people will be able to talk about the very point that I'm trying to make, that if you make war on the United States Army, you shouldn't have Army bases named after you. And I think trying to stick to that main point is what I'm trying to do.
So let's build up on that then, and as I say, and I've said from the beginning, you have a reputation as being a real scholar when it comes to the Civil War. You've written a well-received book about And the War Came, and so give us a little overview, if you will, about the advance before the Civil War, because you said make war in the United States. I guess there have been a number of history books that have said that, you know, that who really made the war? I mean, basically the South said, look, we just want to secede. We want to go ahead and form our own country, or we want to get out of this thing. We don't want to keep this going on. Who actually made war on who, I guess? And talk a little bit about those early days leading up to the war itself. But address that point about in your writings and just what you got through saying. You said, and those who attack or those who take on the United States.
Right.
Who made war on who? Who made war on who?
You know, it's a little bit like splitting hairs, but the first shot was obviously fired at Fort Sumter by the Confederates. Prior to that shot being fired in April, even before there was a Confederate states and it was just several states that had seceded on their own, including South Carolina. The Navy sent a ship down with troops to land at Fort Sumter, and batteries on the shore of Charleston Harbor fired on that ship. That could have started the war there in January. Didn't, for various reasons.
Jamie, can I get you to pause right there? Because I want to really get into your book now and talk about those early divisions that you're getting to now.
Okay.
I want to tell our listeners, we're talking to Jamie Malinowski. He's really got a great focus on the Civil War. He's written extensively. And his book, by the way, is on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. You can order it there, and you can find a lot more information about Jamie. We're going to come back and talk to him some more about what led up to this war. Was it all about slavery? Got some questions to ask him about that we've raised on this show before. Hey, freshen up your coffee. We'll be right back on the Common Sense Show. Our website, www.jimbrownusa.com.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cookpot. bought, all in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply, free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're talking about the Civil War 150 years later. My guest is Jamie Malinowski. He has written extensively about the Civil War. But, Jamie, before I get back to my questions, let me ask you this. We're a little bit of an irreverent show right here, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. Tell me, you have written a lot of humor. You have written a great deal of humor books. I mean, you've been an editor for Playboy and Vanity Fair. So you get up in the morning and you got your coffee and you say, okay, do I want to be a very serious historian today, or do I want to make fun of the world around me? I mean, how do you decide what you do when you get up in the morning?
You know, the reality is that when I was younger and starting out, I wrote an awful lot of humor. And I've written rather less as I've gotten older. The truth is that the shrinkage in the magazine industry has created fewer opportunities for that. And so I've had to kind of, you know, pull other arrows out of my quiver, and I'd always been interested in the Civil War, and so I began doing, been writing more about that and writing more about music. I wrote a book about Levon Helm earlier this year. And so, like everybody else in a changing economy or a changing world, you have to kind of adapt and evolve. But I kind of miss the funny guy. I used to make myself laugh. That's sort of a loss. But but that's really the truth, that my writing has evolved, you know, particularly over the last decade or so.
Well, there's nothing wrong either with covering the gamut. I mean, you go from seriousness to humor. That, I think that gives you more balance and probably makes your life more interesting and makes your writing better. I just would assume. I'm just talking off the top of my head. I run a small publishing company down here, and I find that my more successful authors have a variety of experiences that they bring to fore when they write something like this. So, now let's get back into the Civil War. You talked about the months coming up and getting up to the war, those 6 months. Let me start off with this question. I mean, America was not unique in slavery. You had slavery all over Europe. You had it over Latin and South America, Asia. I mean, slavery has been all over the world. And virtually every other country was able to come to grips with it, the fact that it was time to not have slavery anymore. It was abolished by legislation in England, for example. And so every other country was able to sit down and confect a settlement and put it behind them. In the United States, under Abraham Lincoln, we put brother against brother, family against family, and we go and allow, I think the numbers have been revised up. It was 600,000 or 700,000. Several recent books say over 1 million. 1 million Americans slaughtering each other under the leadership of Abraham Lincoln. What happened? Why couldn't reasonable people, reasonable men, got together and wrote the Declaration of Independence and confected a confederation of states and were able to work out those differences? Why were we unique in not having the common sense to sit down and work this out without slaughtering one another? What do you think?
Man, that's a good question. But I do think there was just too much money. The thing that's interesting is the changing dynamics of the country as we end the 1850s and get into the 1860s. You know, the South had always been able to defend its economic interests in the government through the Senate, or they held the presidency for many times. And by controlling a lot of the parts of the government, they were able to ward off early attempts to end slavery and to sustain that way of life. Moreover, by the end of the 1850s, cotton was bigger than ever. You know, earlier in the 1830s, 40s, cotton was an important crop, but they weren't making the kind of money that they were making towards the end of the 1850s when the Industrial Revolution took over, and all those mills in England were producing and shipping clothes all around the world, and using up the cotton. So the cotton prices went way up. So by the end of the 1850s, you had several things involved. The planters, the cotton barons, were making more money than ever, and yet at the same time, the dynamics of the country were changing. There were immigration from Europe, from Poland, from Italy, from Eastern Europe, from Ireland, and 7/8 of those people were settling in the north. And what's more, there was more land in the north that could potentially become non-slave states. You know, we now know of these, you know, north of South Dakota and Wyoming and Colorado, and just think of these as 6 or 8 or 10 big block states. But if you're sitting there in 1855, you don't know how many states could be carved out of that. I mean, they could fill them all up. So in a very real way, the South was sitting there saying, we've got it better than ever, and yet the dynamics of the country are changing, and soon we may not be able to have our way within the country. And so it's time to secede. And in a very real way, the cotton barons made up their mind to go. They had a vision of a large slave empire that would include Cuba, the West Indies, go down to Nicaragua, to eastern Mexico, and they thought that they would, and control cotton and sugar, the two big commodities, and be richer than
ever. But I understand that. But I understand where the South was coming from to a degree.
Right.
But where was the political leadership? I mean, Lincoln's, if some people say the greatest president ever, then but say, look, I got a problem with these Southern planters. I got to do something. We've got to put some money in down there to buy them off. We've got to let this thing play out over time. I've got to use my political skills and will to keep millions of deaths taking place and ripping this country apart that, some would argue still is today. I understand the economics,
right,
but where was the political leadership? Where was the political leadership?
I mean, that is an interesting question, and I don't know. You also wonder why, on the question of secession, the South went to war right, or just up and quit. Why they didn't say, "Hey, let's talk about it. Let's work out a divorce. You know, let's work out the terms of us going, because you really don't want us, and we really don't want to stay. But you know, what would it take, you know, to go?" And but nobody ever did that sort of thing either. I mean, I don't know that Lincoln had a real inclination to do that, but the one thing that's true is that Lincoln never really had a chance. You know, he was elected, and the very next day, in South Carolina, the secessionists began the process of pulling the state out. They never gave him the chance, despite the fact that he campaigned on the fact that, I'm not going to do anything about slavery in the states where it already exists, because as president, I don't have any authority to do that. They never gave him the chance. So, you know, I know that he could have done more, might have done more, but he really didn't have any kind of opportunity to do more. And in those days,
and then,
of course, just very quickly, they didn't swear in a president until March 4th, and the custom was, you know, we have one president at a time, so if you're the president-elect, you really don't comment on things. So for 4 months of the secession crisis, Lincoln was just on the sidelines, and Buchanan kind of ran things into the ground. So Lincoln really never had much of a chance. By the time he was in the driver's seat, you had eight states seceding, Confederate states formed, things were on a, you know, coming to a war footing.
Right.
You know, he kind of had a, you know, he had a certain set of cards dealt to him.
We're running down to the end of our segment, but I want to ask you this. What if Thomas Jefferson and George Washington had lived another 50 years?
Right.
What side would they have taken in the Civil War, do you think?
That's a great question. I'm inclined to believe Jefferson would have been with the South. I don't think Washington would have been, you know, just because he was such a strong Federalist and believed in that very much. But, you know, they weren't able to solve the slavery issue in their time. And there is nothing really specific about secession in the Constitution that they wrote. So, in some ways, you know, they left open the door to the problems that festered for 80 years.
Jamie, I've got to go, unfortunately, for the top of the hour news, but it's a great book called And the War Came. You can find out all about the book, order the book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, keep your sense of humor, Jamie. Don't let that go. Good talking to you. Hope we talk to you again in the future.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks so much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Jamie Malinowski, interesting guy, written a lot of funny stuff over the years, and interesting new book, and I tried to hit him with some pretty decent questions. I hung in there, didn't I? I hung in there okay. We parried back and forth. Hey, go to the top of the news, right back on the Jim Brown Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.